Welcome back. Jordana Green here. Thanks for hanging out with me tonight. We're talking about workplace politics, workplace bullies, workplace charm, how to get ahead and not get your career derailed. I'm talking with Dan Rust. Dan is the author of Workplace Poker. Are you playing the game or just getting played? And none of us want to think that we're getting played. We want to think we're in control. Dan writes in his book, Workplace Poker, we often have blind spots where we don't know what we don't know. We have to identify those. And honestly, the book is like a manual. He tells great stories, cringeworthy sometimes, of people falling into these traps. Right, Dan? I mean, some of them are, you know, bad. But they're good, but they're bad. You'll be grateful they didn't happen to you. And the book is a great graduation gift, because if you have someone just starting out in their career, hopefully they would be available to listen to this information, because it's all of the lessons you wish you knew at the beginning of your career.
Now, let me just say, the only danger in that, because I've had some interesting responses from people in the kind of the very early stages of their career, like just getting into the career world, where they've read through maybe the first three or four chapters, and there's a bit of a shock to the system, like, oh my God, this is what happens. And I have to kind of talk them down a bit to say, look, the book is, you know, a compression of many, many, many stories. So it's not like you're going to walk into the work world and suddenly, you know, everything is going to be, intensely political, like you're in the mafia. Although it can happen, but it's not going to be that bad. Where I've gotten, I think, the most positive response is from people who've been actually in the work world for maybe at least 5 or 10 years, and they've experienced at least some of it, and now it's almost like you're peeling the layer away to say, here's what you can do about these things that you've really been experiencing. I totally agree that it's a great gift for someone just going into the work world, but give them a couple of hugs.
Yeah.
At the same time.
You don't want to scare the crap out of them.
Right.
I get it. I totally get it. I did want to talk about charm, because we think, okay, charm has no place in the workplace. You need to work. You need to produce. You need to, you need to play nice, you know, with people. But come on, charm, what does charisma have to do with getting ahead?
Well, and, you know, I have to be honest, I was a very charm-challenged person in my early years, overly serious. My background is in engineering, so I was all about data, and I was all about process and getting, you know, projects done on time and on budget. And it took me personally a long time and some serious coaching from other people to just accept that there is a real value in developing charm. And now I'm a good student. So once the switch was flipped, I decided I really was going to try to be more gracious and charming. And really what I mean by charm is, when you think about the people in your life who just have that natural positive grace about them, they're very confident. They're very kind. They're also very wise. It's not that they don't see the faults in other people. Mm-hmm. It's that they see the whole person and make a decision to focus on typically the more positive things, unless there's a reason to focus on some of the more challenging things. And I think one of the best examples I've been a part of in helping someone go from charm challenged to actually having that grace and that ability to move people with the power of your positive spirit, not to get too woo-woo about it, but even though I'm basically a North Dakota and Minnesota boy, I've managed to sell myself as a corporate trainer in some really interesting environments. And I spent some time in Saudi Arabia doing some leadership development for Saudi Aramco, and met a woman who was part of the workshop. She was an engineering supervisor. Great lady, incredibly competent. The people who she worked with, who were mostly men, had expressed great respect for her competency, but she was incredibly abrasive to work with. Mm-hmm. And in fact, there were men who had altered their career path. They decided, I'm not going to work in this department. I'm going to work somewhere else. And essentially,
really?
She had the reputation of, yeah, you know, she's really good. Just don't cross her or don't disagree with her. And so, because that was the feedback I'd been given from senior leadership, they had said to me, one of the things we'd like you to do, not as a formal part of the program, because that will make her mad. So I had like a secret training objective as we went through a week-long leadership development program. So I made sure that I had lunch with her the first day, and when we had dinner in the evening, I made sure I sat with her. So I had a chance to spend time with her early on. And by the time we were about halfway through, I felt like I had enough rapport where when we broke out into one-on-one conversations and each individual in the program had a coach, I assigned myself as her coach. And so I began to ask her questions about her attitude toward the people that she worked with. Mm-hmm. And the reason it's a great example is because she had very good reasons for being abrasive. She walked me through how she had been wronged from the get-go. You know, as a young worker at Saudi Aramco, her career was limited because she was a woman, so she had limitations in terms of what she could do, where she could go, how she'd been treated. But it was almost as if she was like emotional Velcro. She had grabbed onto every one of those experiences. And she was so determined no one was going to screw her ever again. It's almost like, I'm going to get you first before you. And basically, it took a while for her to acknowledge what had happened is her feelings got hurt. I mean, she, to make a long story short, luckily, I actually got to go back two times and spent a fair amount of time with her individually the second time I was there. And we really dug into this because I came to a realization that this was the one thing holding her back. Everyone respected her. Everyone knew that she did great work. And, in fact, not only did everyone respect her, but the work environment had actually shifted over the course of her career because she'd been working for Saudi Aramco for over 20 years. So imagine 20 years ago what it was like. And while it's still, you know, very stifling today, it's nothing like what it was 20 years ago, but she was carrying all that baggage. And so with a fair amount of just honest discussions, and we came to a point where she agreed this was an area that she really had to work on. And she and I, we've stayed in contact over the last couple of years, and it's been amazing to hear the stories from her. Now, it's very difficult for her. It's, you know, to go from abrasive to charming is a pretty big leap. But it's actually working where she's realizing that she can get far more done with a genuine pleasant demeanor that embraces, you know, other people's opinions and doesn't immediately assume because you disagree with me, that means you disrespect me. So I know for an absolute fact that most of us can be more charming if we put a little effort into it. And we maybe have good models in our either personal or work lives for what real charm can be.
That is definitely a great story. We only have about a minute or so left, but what is your advice? Because I hear people say all the time, you know, there are people that are holding them back. And I know we spoke about what is our accountability, what is our role in somebody who's you feel like is holding you back. But what if you really have a boss that you can't get out from under their thumb? What do you do about someone who's toxic in the workplace?
You step back and make a quick objective, a quick assessment of what are you getting from this situation. And while there are definitely circumstances where it makes sense to work for a Donald Trump or an Anna Wintour or other people like that, if you're working in that kind of environment that I call a cult of personality, where ultimately everything is about that person, it's not bad. It just is what it is. And you have to decide, am I getting enough out of this to work in that environment? And if you're not, then really the only answer is to plan your exit strategy, because that is not going to change. In fact, people drive themselves nuts thinking that if I'm only good enough, that person will change, or if I only work harder, that person, no, or somehow they'll eventually go away. They generally stay around much longer than you want them to or expect them to. And ultimately, if the organization is being driven by that cult of personality, again, I don't want to sound like I'm judging it, although I am obviously a little bit. But mm-hmm. I think you're better off if you don't judge it. I mean, like or hate Donald Trump. If I was working for him, I would be wisest to set aside any frustration I have that it's all about him, yeah. and accept that that's what it is, and then ask myself, what am I getting? And if I'm not getting enough, it's time to move on.
That's great, great advice. And the book is full of it. We didn't even get to self-promotion or over-promotion. Dan Rust, it's called Workplace Poker. Are you playing the game or just getting played? Dan, where can we find the book?
Any place books are sold, you can go to workplacepoker.com, but it's available everywhere, all bookstores and Amazon, everywhere else that books are sold.
What are you working on now?
Well, I had a radio interview a couple of days ago, and there was the interviewer had a turn of phrase. He said something like, all managers suck. And that man that grabbed my attention, I thought, I don't know that it's necessarily absolutely true.
I don't think it's true.
Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of them that do. So I'm actually working on a book that's related to how specifically do you take a manager who's, let's say, less than ideal mm-hmm. and, you know, create an ideal situation with a less than perfect manager. But for the most part, I'm just enjoying talking to people about the content of this book because it seems to have struck a chord that more than even I expected.
I would agree. Dan, it has been my pleasure to talk to you, and I have a feeling I'm going to be calling on you in the future to come back on the show.
Totally mutual. Thank you so much, Jordana.
Thank you, Dan. Have a great night.
Good night.
Boy, I learned a lot. It's a terrific book. I have it in the house. It's a great one. All right, let's take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Or so left with you, but boy, I love that segment. I thought he had some terrific information, and I feel like we don't often ask for, you know, career advice. We don't. We just kind of plod along, and we are grateful to have jobs because God knows the recession was hard on everybody, so I understand that. But, you know, there are probably better ways to manage it and things we can even learn along the way in our career. So great conversation with Dan Rust. Thank you, Dan, again, for coming on. Coming up tomorrow, Stephen Blair Venable is going to join me. He and I skipped our segment last week because of the Prince situation. So that he is back tomorrow. We're going to talk a little bit about Prince. He'll share a story or two. And we'll also finish his segment on the best advice or the worst advice we were ever given and what we should take or shouldn't take. And Stephen says, like Dan's segment, you know, he wishes he knew the things and the advice at the beginning of his career, at the beginning of his life, so he didn't have to learn stuff the hard way. And that's just life, right? Learning a lot of it the hard way. But hopefully we will learn something from him so we will not necessarily have to go through it on our own. I'm about out of time. Kevin Reed, thanks for sticking with me in the studio. And I'll be back with you tomorrow night. Al Malmberg is next.